perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear says to us, I will make you safe. But love says to us, you are safe. Fear says to us, give me a symbol. Give me a frozen image. Give me something I can see, that I can feel, that I can understand. Love says, only give me this moment. Fear says, come with me and walk on this earthly path, and I promise that I will get you where you want to go. Love says, open your arms and fly with me. Fear opposes truth. Why? Why would fear oppose what would look to be so good, so wonderful? Fear opposes truth. Why? Because truth has the power to transform. Fear is usually fighting for its life and does not want to be transformed. Love is life. Perfect love casts out fear. That's amazing. Can you imagine if that was not true? Can you imagine if when Mary and Joseph were about to give birth, that they would have let fear take charge? If I were in Joseph's shoes as that dad, I would have been terrified. There was no such thing as a hospital. There was no place that they could go. They wound up in the manger. They wound up in the stable. There was no sterile environment. There was no mother there. Neither Mary's nor Joseph's mother was there to help and guide in that first birth. We can only guess if there was anybody else. But even if there was somebody else, it was a stranger. There was so much to be terrified about. There was so much to have room for fear. But what we know about that night is that somehow, some way, perfect love casts out fear. What we know, oh, it was still a miserable night. You can't give birth and not be in pain. You can't be that young and not be scared about what's coming. It was exhausting and it was terrifying. But what ruled the day was not the fear, it was the love. It was the love. And this is what we claim. Perfect love casts out fear, and fear does not have power over us. Years ago, I was serving communion, and this moment just hit me in the face. We were not serving with a common loaf. I didn't have to break off pieces. We had cubed the bread, and it was in a basket. And as people would come down, I would say, this is my body broken for you. This is my body broken for you. This is my body broken for you. And as they came, I needed to know, do I have enough bread in my basket in order to serve this entire side of the sanctuary? And so I quickly looked down at my basket, did a rough count, and quickly looked up. This is my body, broken for you, as I'm speaking and counting at the same time. And it hit me. This is my body, broken. This was one of the very, very rare Sundays in worship when we had no guests. And what that meant was that I knew the story of every single person in there. And what I knew that others would not have was that every single person in that sanctuary on that day, in that moment, was broken. And she came down with her cane because she was dealing with rheumatoid arthritis. Her mother had had rheumatoid arthritis, and her mother, at the age of 50, had gone into the wheelchair and never got out. And now she came down in her 80s. She had been fighting for 40 years to stay out of that wheelchair. And her body was broken as that cane did the work for her. And the family over on the right side came down. Mom, dad, son, daughter. Everyone knew them. They knew everyone. Everyone thought that they were a pretty darned happy family. I knew better. I knew that they were going in for counseling. I knew that the levels of anger that were between parents and children were really high, and everybody put on a good face when you came to church. They were broken. Mr. and Mrs. came down, and everything looked right with them too, but I knew better. I knew that they were battling to stay out of bankruptcy, or should they just give up and just go ahead and do the bankruptcy? Any way you looked at it, they were so broken. And she came down. She didn't even know if she was Christian. And yet, on that day, there she was. And decided that instead of sitting in the pew again, that this time she was going to go ahead and receive communion. Every single person in that sanctuary was broken. Stop and figure out what that means. Every single person in that room knew about the word fear. In all of their brokenness, they knew what to fear. And all of them feared something different. And yet, there they were. Because they also knew something deeper than that. What they knew was that fear did not have the last word. What they knew was that there was something more powerful than the fear that was working in their lives. Perfect love casts out fear. And so we come to the end of 2019. My goodness, what a roller coaster ride. And here we come into 2020. What will it hold? We do not know. We can guess, but nobody knows. But one of the things that I know as I look around in our community, as I look around in our church, as I look around in our nation and our world, is that it is way too easy to give in to fear. It's way too easy to speculate. You see, fear wants the easy way out. Fear is not patient. Fear wants to have an answer now. And here's what I know, that if you quit listening to the shouts of fear, if you quit paying attention to the clamor and the chaos that fear is creating, that fear is going to creep up behind you and whisper rational words in your ear. Oh, beware. Beware of rational words. Beware of that which makes too much sense in too easy a terms, because the fact of the matter is that love doesn't work that way. Love has to take the long route. Love takes an enormous amount of peace. Love takes an enormous amount of patience. And that peace and that patience do not start out there. That peace and that patience start in here. And when we give in, instead to giving in to the words that are shouted in our ears, the words of chaos, the words of fear, then we become fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So what will the year hold for you? Will the year hold too much fear? Or is there a way that this year, as we end 19 and begin 20, is there a way that that peace can have even more, that love can have power? We don't stop and think about it that much, but I believe love to be the most powerful force in our universe. We look at evil. We look at so many things that are happening around us. We look at the chaos. We look at the clamor. And we think that that would be more powerful. It is not. It is love that holds. Perfect love casts out fear. So we celebrate this day that Christ came into this world, Jesus born as a baby. And isn't it tempting to say, oh, how beautiful, what a cute, what a darling, what a wonderful little baby. And we get enamored with all of this, because here's what goes with it. Here's what you may not have thought of, but I recognize. When we see the baby, we say, oh, the baby will take care, the baby Jesus will bring us peace. As if the baby Jesus carries a little magic wand that says, bing, 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 you don't have to do anything. That's not how it works. The little baby Jesus came and brought peace onto our earth. Not peace that is held in a magic wand, peace that is held in your hands. And that little baby Jesus grew as a boy. That little baby Jesus grew into a young man. That young man Jesus grew into a mature man. And that mature man went to the Jordan River and was baptized and stepped out and began ministry. Not a ministry that began with joy, not a ministry that began with celebration. It began with 40 days of fasting. It began with the honing. I grew up with a grandmother who was the second of 20 children. And at the age of 10, she was farmed out to her neighbors. This was up in Saskatchewan. This was back before World War I. And at the age of 17, she came down across the United States border and established herself down in East Grand Forks in Minnesota. And there she planted herself. And there she grew. The first job that she got was a temp job in a laundry. But the second job that she got was a much more permanent job for her. She worked in a slaughterhouse. It was a big staff. I have a picture of it at home. And it was amazing to see how these men and these women would work. Her job was to sharpen knives. And somehow, some way, inside of that moment, she had the opportunity to buy her own set of knives. That was the only set of knives she ever owned in her entire life. I grew up with that set of knives. They were high-quality steel with wonderful, beautiful hickory handles. But what was amazing to me was that those blades, in their newest forms, the blades curved down the way a blade should. But every time I would go home for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, and the Christmas turkey, the Christmas ham, the roast beef would come out of the oven, my grandmother would go to the drawer. It was immediately to the right of the stove. She would get out her favorite knife, the one that was right for that job, and she would get out the steel, and she would hone. She would sharpen. Seventy years after she bought those knives at any given moment could be taken out of that drawer and you could shave with them. They were that sharp. But every single one of those knives was the wrong shape. You see, the blades that used to curve downward now curved upward. Those blades, you and I would never ever consider using those knives because they were all the wrong shape. Those knives had been worn down to a nubbin by 70 years of sharpening. This is the image that I give to you. And there was a little baby born. And that little baby came not to make our world wonderful and rosy and easy. Here's the magic wand. Ding, ding, ding. No. That little baby came to grow into a man in order to equip us. Love is what he gave us. And with that sharpening steel of love, you and I are honed. Love hones us. Love wears us down. Love is not easy. Love is tough. And love is what we need inside of this world. And Mary and Joseph knew perfect love casts out fear. Mary and Joseph knew. They did not listen to the voice of fear. They listened to the voice of love. Christ did not come into this world to make everything easy for you and for me. Christ came into this world to equip us with God's love so that we can tackle all that the world has to give. We are Christ's hands. We are Christ's feet. We are the love of God in the touch and the words that we speak. We are love. May it be that you in this Christmas realize that in the wonderfulness of the moment, we have been given the greatest power in this universe. Here in our hands, perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Would you bow with me? Lord, we give thanks for Christ coming, for this baby Jesus, knowing that this baby Jesus would grow to save our world in so many ways, and we are part of that saving. So, Lord, equip us, fill us, move us, send us, that we might be your love.